Hey, all you podcast listeners out there. This is Ian from the Futile Podcast. And I'd just like to tell you that we have been nominated in the general category for the Podcast Awards. So please go and vote for us in the general category at podcastawards.com. You could try Googling podcastawards.com. I think it's just podcastawards.com. I don't think there's a www. And yeah, vote Futile Podcast, two words, FutilePodcast, because you all know how to spell podcast, I'm sure. That should be cool. So please vote. Voting starts October 23rd and ends November 8th. Welcome to the Futile Podcast. I'm not sure what we're going to discuss tonight. I'm sure we'll get to it when we get to it.
Oh, we'll discuss a lot of things.
We can discuss a variety of things. This is going to be a return to form for us. It's been a while. It won't seem like it to the listeners, but it's been about a month, maybe. A lot of movies we've both seen in that.
Yeah.
I've seen...
Me more so, because you shy away from theaters.
I shy away. They scare me. People go there to fornicate, I think. And that frightens me.
Uh-huh.
The very idea of another person touching me in a sexual way, it scares me. I don't know what I would do. I might kill them. Creepy.
Explain how to email you and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's right, because that's ever worked. If you want to visit the website is www.graniteseed.com. It's granite, like pomegranate, short for pomegranate. Graniteseed.com /futile podcast. You could probably just Google futile podcast, one word, FutilePodcast. And you can send us an email to that same futilepodcast@gmail.com if you wanted to gripe about something or comment on something or encourage us in our endeavors to continue doing this, which is reviewing movies and trying to be entertaining about it, which I think we pull off every now and again.
Good news, Ian.
Yes, that's good news.
Oh, The Rock is on. So let's set up most Sundays for me. Most Sundays for me go like this:
watch the Rams lose.
Rams lose. The Niners and or the Eagles win when I really don't want them to, because I hate them and I hate my friends' teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then my fantasy team loses as well.
Which team is that? Or that's just the collective grouping of players.
Yeah. For instance, this week it was. Cutler, Andre Johnson, Steve Smith, Roddy White, Adrian Peterson, Ryan Grant, John Carlson, Felix Jones, Nate Kidding, and New York D.
Gotcha.
I won this week. I'm actually up to third place now.
And Rams won. And so Rams everything won. Turned up Zach this
and
Sunday.
And the Dodgers won. The Niners lost. The Eagles won, but they played the Niners, so mm-hmm. that had to happen. The Patriots got killed.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great day. The Red Sox lost. It was wonderful. And then today the Dodgers just lost. Red Sox lost again, though. So.
Mm.
Yeah. I really think that when I look back on all these years podcasting that mm-hmm. we've done, these many, many years of doing this.
It's been almost 2 years of actually recording.
I think that the most enjoyable movies I will have seen were the National Treasure movies. And I'm very excited to think that when I look back, I will have seen two more of them, because they have two more in the works, to make it a quadrilogy. And you know this by the fact that Disney registered the domain names National Treasure Movie 3 and National Treasure Movie 4.com, respectively. So, we have more wigs coming our way,
mm-hmm.
more completely unbelievable shenanigans involving presidents and leaders of state.
More John Voight.
Hopefully more John Voight.
You know, he's a conservative.
Oh, yeah. He was in that that Zucker movie.
He was on
Huckabee. So was Kelsey Grammer.
He was on Huckabee talking about it. Kelsey Grammer's a conservative too.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, and Bruce Willis.
Anyone who's rich, well read, and well spoken, and kind of foppity.
John Voight was not at all well spoken.
No, Huckabee. He's a moron. But I mean, you have those two extremes. Those are usually Republicans.
Hmm.
George Clooney, for a long time, people thought was a Republican.
Who? George who?
Clooney.
Oh, George Clooney?
Yeah.
But he's more of a populist Democrat, right?
Yeah. He really is a populist Democrat.
Which means that, I don't know where that, what that phase is.
No.
It's sort of more of an old-timey Democrat.
But yeah, for a long time, a lot of people thought he was, mostly because of his allegiance with the South Park gentlemen. That's South Park odd. Republicans.
Indeed.
Which are
fractionalized at most. Who knows? But we'll see what happens on Wednesday.
Yeah.
They're going to get into some of this election stuff.
Nice.
If they'll get into...
Yeah, I'm sure they'll find a really petty angle to take and not really discuss anything in any detail.
Well, that's not their job
either.
They'll
focus on something to just satirize and basically offend. I felt like this last week was back to the old days of being so incredibly offensive that was just a joke, and then you just push it and push it until people no longer think it's funny. They tried to do that last season with the Britney Spears thing, and that one grew really old very quickly.
But that one was dark, too.
It was very dark. This one was pretty dark. How is rape not dark?
Well, no, but it was so ridiculous. It was a B story. Or it was the A story.
The B story sucked.
The B story was dumb. The B story
was really funny for the first half of it,
mm-hmm.
because the accents they were using were so racist, Butters and Cartman. Harold Prees.
Yeah. But no, they made the same mistake. I've listened to a bazillion of their commentaries, their mini commentaries, and every time they talk about an episode that's got two stories in it, they're like, we make this mistake again and again and again. And Trey Parker couldn't even do a commentary on the one, the margarine one, because he just felt so pissed that they wasted two great ideas in one episode. And, like, had to cram... Because that's one episode that crams a lot in. It's got the whole Butters as, like Pet Cemetery thing.
That
we just kind of never bring any closure to.
Right.
But the beginning with, like, the girls and the time-traveling device. So they kind of, like, fizzle both out and can combine them real quick. It's a dense episode, and it's a hilarious episode. But it's like it was two ideas that they could have had as a single episode for each. And in this, they could have done that if they had more to joke about with the China situation.
Right.
And more to be pissed off about. But they'd already done their pissed off at George Lucas and Steven Spielberg thing once before. This was just them being like, you know what, that Indiana Jones movie, they were really upset about it.
Oh, yeah, rightfully so. And I thought it was great because they, you know, considering how relatively critically acclaimed the movie was, like, hey, yeah, it was a fun Indiana Jones movie. Let's give it a positive thing. It didn't deserve that. Like, critics should... I mean, considering that most critics are supposed to be cynical people, they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a rule, unless they're Joel Siegel or someone else, they don't like stupid pandering things for the greater masses, as a rule.
I think that good criticism comes from looking at what something is trying to do and determining whether it does it well. I mean, in that way, you could give a crappy parody movie a good review for what it is. But at the same time, you don't say it's something it's not. See, bad criticism is like that N+1 guy looking for political spin and, you know, trying to find it.
But the point is this. With this fourth Indiana Jones movie, the criticism can stop right at what were they trying to do. Because what they tried to do was they completely took this beloved franchise off the rails into just complete utter crap territory. They took it off the rails into somewhere where it did not belong.
I'm still trying to figure it out. I mean,
they moved the fridge with that one.
I know I didn't really like it, but I'm still trying to figure out if it's just because there was no way I was ever going to like it. You know, it's set 20 years later. It's kind of almost like how... And they showed all of that. They showed the TV. They showed the newer
characters that don't develop in any way. That's the biggest problem with it.
I think I agree.
The overlying thing about the plot is one thing, but the most damaging thing to me is that there's these weak, flat, cardboard, smiling characters who win the day, and nothing comes of it, except for the fact that they get to stand there and look at a nice sunset at the end, you know?
Yeah. I think that was maybe, yeah. I would have, they shouldn't have brought more people into it. They should have at very least been like, it's the last thing.
There's not, I mean, The Rock is on in the background right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's an individual struggle for both the main characters to overcome, and they do so.
Well, what's Sean Connery's struggle?
His thing is that he wants to reconcile himself with his daughter, and then at the end, he's done this thing he was forced to do, which he kind of almost has like he has this duty to try to. It's almost like he's making up for what the supposed treason he committed against America, which I guess is not even really, is it treason when it's against another country? It's espionage.
Yeah,
you know, and almost making up for that by like. You know, everyone he kills, it's like some cathartic thing, like, oh, yeah, I did it, huh? Well, how about this? Because they're like military guys stuff. There's probably something like that in there. But you know, and then at the end, he's paid his price, but now he's found that he can still have a life with his daughter. And so, you know, and then Goodspeed lets him go.
And Nick Cage is just supposed to
Nick work. Cage's thing, well, I mean, his internal struggle is that he's the weak, wimpy office. It's the same thing from, like, Black Hawk Down, the character that... Ewan McGregor plays where he's a desk guy and he just like pops up and says, oh, you know, I haven't seen any action. I would actually kind of like to do it. I never thought I would say this, but I would kind of like get out there. And he finds out that it's miserable hell, you know,
the usual
thing. But it's like the thing where they have to then overcome, you know.
Black
Hawk Down is actually a really interesting movie to think about in that way, because considering that there is no main character and you really follow, I mean, there's people that you follow a little more, like the Hartnett character, only slightly a little more than other ones. But, they each have, you know, they still manage to put these little character arcs in most people. Like, there's a guy who's afraid to shoot, and, like, he finally shoots once or something like that. And even the characters that don't really have an arc are so, like, especially the Sizemore character, are so interesting just by their actions, by, like, the fact that he never ducks. People are exploding and getting shot around him. He just stands straight up and walks straight around and doesn't duck, doesn't cower, doesn't move quickly. Like, if they're going to shoot me, I don't care, you know? Like, you know?
And that movie is awesome.
It's got some great stuff in it like that.
Well, I think the reason for that, I mean, is because it's based on a true story. So those are those are real people. So all you have to do is just look at them, interview them, and it's not imagination sitting there trying to come up with contrivances and lazy writing where it's like, forget it, I don't need that. I just need a cool scene that happens here.
But for the most part, they all have these slight... things that are indicated that there's like some internal struggle to overcome, which is kind of what audiences need. But then you go back to the Indiana Jones thing, and he's initially drawn into this thing because someone else asks him to do something. You know, like in the beginning, he got kidnapped, right? So he wasn't doing anything on his own to have anything to do with that. He escapes that. Then he's asked to do something by this kid, and then
Well, it's the Red Scare thing. I think his motivation is all right. I just think the injection of this new character, this kid, is kind of haywire, and the kid's characterization is really kind of whatever. And
it's stupid. Well, the main thing is that they juxtapose the kid's actions and love of I mean, he's got this real like streak, like action packed. I want swinging from vines and crap, and yet they like type him as a greaser, which has nothing to do with that stuff. They give him the Wild One hat and the striped shirt. You know that. I mean, all those movies that Brando played those certain guys, and he was like a disenfranchised, angry youth who chose to rebel by kind of like hanging around and twirling a knife and
what
stuff.
Do you got?
Yeah, but this guy is supposed to look like that, and then his thing is. He's got this grand scheme to go save his grandfather guy by traversing the earth and fighting through ruins and swinging on vines and, you know, escaping from aliens. And it just doesn't fit the type that they made for him.
Well, that was just like a caricature.
It was a caricature.
It was so cool.
All the characters felt like caricatures.
I think my initial reception of it was just like, really just, I just wanted to see some more Jones, and there were little bits of Jones that were Jones, and it was like, that was cool, but you're right, like, the whole...
I think those were all due to Ford, though,
that's totally what
seemed,
I mean.
It almost seemed like he was the only person trying to keep that a real character, because he's throwing in his facial expressions and stuff that he does best, and that totally fit his character, and...
It's just been so goddamn long since anything. I think they all just, for the most part, forgot. Didn't know what to do.
They want to do another one.
That's still, what can they do? That's dumb.
They should have him kill God.
No, I think what they're doing is they're going to turn him into even more so into the Connery character, right? That's what I've heard, is that Shia LaBeouf becomes the new young, and that just seems idiotic. That sounds
pretty exciting.
The whole thing seems fucking retarded. They squandered it. It's over. They should have done one every 5 years because while they were still having fun ideas. I mean, really, Temple of Doom, it's got a different credit scheme than the other ones. And, I mean, there's some really stupid stuff in Temple of Doom, but it's a fun adventure movie.
It is.
And it's about the fortune and glory, and I mean, and Short Round, there's a kid in it,
right.
But the kid's just pretty straightforward, and he does stuff that's cool. And he swings on stuff and whatever.
Well, I know, but the kid is like a mangy, you know, fatherless, like, street rat guy who basically has nothing else but this guy as his father figure. And the LaBeouf character doesn't even want him as a father figure through most of it until, you know, and they're almost just kind of, like, forced together. Then the only little thing they share is, you're going to college. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, which is supposed to be funny and stuff like that. And to point this out again, in Temple of Doom, which many people consider the weakest of the original three, he still has this individual arc, which is overcoming the mercenary nature thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
And choosing to, in a kind of corny way, to give life back to this town instead of his own fortune and glory type thing. You know, so. It's still a development in his character, and it shows maybe how he got to the point in the later films, which is not really the case, that he's a more, I guess, responsible person. I mean, in most of the movies, it seems like he's really kind of spending a lot of his time trying to rescue people.
Yeah,
that's understandable. You know, what's the tension and the drama going to be otherwise? You know, so I mean, they try to do that again in the fourth one, and they have to go rescue this guy that you don't know about until you see that he's a crazy old John Hurt, and then it's just not interesting.
No, anymore. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like they honestly had to figure out all this in between backstory, and because it was all being told to you, you weren't ever seeing it. Mm-hmm. It was all there was no connection to it. You know, if they could have tried to do something that was completely without that, and that maybe would have been better, but it also would have been just kind of like, wait, you're neglecting the fact that this guy is 20 years... I mean, I almost think if they had just pretended that it hadn't been 20 years and set it like 7 years later or something, and then just been like, you know what, everyone already did the whole, like, look at how the poster, they make him look like he's not like an old man, he's not like Indiana Jones.
It's the same painter.
The adventure of the walker and stuff. Uh-huh. I'm like, you know what? Just set it like right in the midst of like post WW2, some crazy Nazi cult, like ex-Nazi cult thing, and they're going to try to bring Hitler back, or who knows? Do something fun.
They can put the supernatural element in it, but there's a thing about, like, you know, some people try to point out, like, oh, it's just as stupid to have the arc and stuff like that. But the point is, they already did that stuff and it succeeded, and it's all been in the same vein. It's a religious supernatural religious type thing.
Versus science fiction
and that's all versus his academic thing.
Yeah.
Like throughout all of it happening, he always kind of has this skeptic attitude.
Well, and it's based on mythology and archaeology, and there's really not a lot to. I mean, they try to do it, but it's really stupid.
And the academic in him is the skeptic, and the adventurer in him is the person who
the wonder
who knows that anything can happen because he's seen it. Mm-hmm. You know, and then. So they go from that whole realm for three straight movies, and then they go into something that's not just like a supernatural thing about where like the earth is the center of something, and there's mysticism and religion that may have something to do with all this other stuff. Instead, you go to crazy outer space junk that really
little trans-dimensional beings.
Trans-dimensional beings. Yeah. That's they could have at least just been aliens, right?
Yeah, exactly. No,
it could have been Marvin the Martian. It could have been a nice little tie-in with Space Jam.
It could have. That would have been great. Space Jam tie-in?
Yeah.
No, they,
Jordan appears and saves the day?
Yes. Jordan appears.
Oh my gosh, people would have rioted if that happened at the end if it was Marvin the Martian.
That would have been... That would be... People probably,
I still will always remember with goosebumps and a shivering spine the look that I shared with my friends in the theater when it was over, because we were so excited, even when the stupid gopher popped up, mm-hmm. and even when the fridge flew 1,000 miles, mm-hmm. and even when, I mean, when...
Even I'm just saying that the fridge thing is incredulous, I'll admit, but, I mean, come on, it's an Indiana Jones movie. I don't care about that.
The first part was exciting. The first part was...
And you know what? And that image was fucking awesome. After when he walks out of the fridge and he's standing there in front of the mushroom cloud, that looked really cool. And I liked that. I definitely liked the whole, because that's like a whole new era beginning thing.
Yeah.
And him standing there all like adventurer of the early part of the 20th century looking at what's in store for the latter part. Mm. And like, this is cool.
And then how do you go from that, which what you just said makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into the new era and you have some sort of new mythology or something, but instead it goes to this interdimensional being crap.
Yeah, and it goes to South America, I don't know, South America just isn't as interesting for that kind of stuff. I think, I mean, they had to go there because there's definitely some weird stuff with like those cultures in South America and their calendars and their predictions of the end of the world and all that stuff. I just don't know if it's all jungle. It's not, Indiana Jones movies don't really work.
The thing
if
is, I know
jungle.
Spielberg's working on this Tintin, project, and
that's like World War One or something, right?
Well, it's set. I mean, it's all set long time ago. Like a lot of them were written like 1916, then he went all the way through like 1940s and 50s before.
Yeah, but it's like a dog and like a guy in World War One.
Well, no, it's all. I mean, they're set in whatever time he's actually writing it. The guy never changes age. He's a boy reporter. He's an early 20s probably reporter who, because he's a reporter, has a lot of idle time to go and get into various adventures. And,
I thought he had a dog named.
Oh yeah, Snowy.
Yeah. Oh okay.
No, Snowy's the dog. Yeah. Okay. I used to have the entire series. I love them. They're great. They're really really good. The guy's art was fantastic. And the thing was, it's these fun things about this guy, but it's about international intrigue and espionage. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So he ends the series, the guy Hergé, whatever his name was, Belgian guy, he ends the series with the same way this ended. There's some Mayan stuff, they're on a flight that gets hijacked, and in a 747 or what it is, and it goes to, I'm sorry, that's the second to last story.
Mm-hmm.
They go to some island with all these Mayan things and stuff, and things that look like spacemen and stuff.
Oh
like
my god.
Found. Okay. And anyway, I thought you were going to say like you want to record. And at the end, there really is some aliens and stuff. And I found it to be the most depressing, ridiculous of all of them, even though the art was beautiful in it. Mm-hmm. And there were some great storylines and they brought back some old characters and stuff. It felt felt a lot like that. And I almost feel like Spielberg was a little bit like, I know everyone's blaming Lucas for this, but Spielberg might have been a little influenced by, like, maybe he had read that recently and been like, oh, you know, I can handle this because I love the Tintin series so much. I don't know. It's that same sort of thing. Like you take it out of. I mean, other Tintin stories had like Hindu religious spiritualism kind of supernatural things every once in a while happening. And then there's like, for instance, this one where he goes to Tibet. There's the Abominable Snowman in it. But they're awesome. They're really good. My favorite ones were just ones where they like went to some vague European country and like somebody stole
and there's intrigue
and there's
cobblestones and there's like
exactly
there's film noir
and the best thing was that he has his Han Solo character in there too, which is this drunken old he's not very old, he's in his 50s, captain named Captain Haddock, who in the first half of the series is just a raving drunk, and then Tintin kind of like weans him off of that because he's his buddy and they hang and the captain inherits this or finds the deed to in one of their adventures this fantastic mansion called Marlon Spike, which is somewhere in the countryside, and it's just great. Like, yeah, he gets a butler and junk, and the butler's kind of like this stiff upper lip.
It sounds like if you took it and kind of like like kicked it up a notch, it would be like a great anime series or something.
It would be a hell of an anime series. They're fantastic. I should show you some. I think I have some in my other car, my dad's house, but they're they're awesome. They're
really it also attention. Sounds a lot like some of the Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Well, you know that these movies are going to be animated too, right?
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, they're doing 3D animation type thing with them.
I don't know what's the deal with that. Does that look different?
Everyone's doing it now. I don't know.
I've heard they're doing a U.S. version of Ghost in the Shell, but that's going to be a 3D movie. And is that going to be an animation or live action or what's the deal?
I'm not sure because they say 3D animation like it's different from CGI. So I'm not sure what the deal is about that. I mean, they might be specifically talking about filming in 3D, which is a big new thing.
Yeah, I think that's what they're talking about.
It does seem like it's just another fucking gimmick. I mean, honestly, I could look at a movie.
Spielberg and it's Peter Jackson and someone else is involved too.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting
combination. And they're doing it as like a trilogy and one of them is going to direct each of them or something like that.
As an animated feature.
Yeah.
That's a different way to direct than directing live action.
Do it.
That's his plan.
I guess he's had the rights to it for a while, and he's been working on it for quite some time.
So. Well, that could be cool. So, thank you for listening, and we're going to keep on doing this. It sounds like it'll be fun. Vote Futile Podcast in the general category, the Podcast Awards, between October 23rd and November 8th. Thank you.